There's a tradition in the British Armed Forces that goes pretty far back, actually. And it came about because those who were the leaders of the forces recognized that in the midst of battle and all the frenzy that was going on, oftentimes what would happen is that people would actually become somewhat irrational. They would cease thinking and actually they would lose sight of everything they were doing. And it would oftentimes really end the cause, the fight. They had a tendency to lose when that ever happened. And so they developed a new rule of discipline. And the discipline was that this, that at a given point, when things seemed to be the worst, when things were falling around them, and there just seemed to be nothing but chaos around them, the commanding officer would order an unmistakable signal whistle to be sounded. And no one at that time then is to speak a word or do anything for 30 seconds. And during those 30 seconds, each person is to say to themselves, or possibly in a loud voice, "I am a British soldier. I am well trained. I will do my best. We shall prevail." Now, part of that description kind of reminds me a little bit of Advent. Somebody will say, "But Pastor, we're in Christmas." Well, Advent and the weeks leading up to Christmas are some of the most chaotic. Let me see a sign of hands if that isn't true. Am I the only one? Those are some of the most chaotic times, especially if you're planning a dinner and all the events that are going to take place that day on Christmas or Christmas Eve. And if it's Christmas Eve, it even becomes more chaotic because you got to go to worship and you got to plan that somehow around all the things that are happening. You've got to do all the shopping. There's that endless chorus of Christmas carols that you hear pounded constantly into your brain as you're walking through the stores. Or if you're like some, it's even a bit chaotic trying to make certain orders on the internet because it just doesn't work right when they're overloaded, as they seem to be so often. I don't know about you, but it seems like a chaotic time for Christians. And we lose sight oftentimes of what we are about and what we should be doing. We lose sight of who we are. How many of you have said, "I just can't seem to get into the Christmas spirit"? Am I the only one? Okay, then maybe it isn't a problem. Let's close now. I'll go home. I used to say all the time as a pastor when I was serving a congregation by myself, it was chaotic. There were so many things to plan. We did 3 services, and they all had to be planned in a meticulous sort of way. And every time you do Christmas services, they are so different from your Sunday services that it just throws you off, and you find yourself trying to reflect on that, put a sermon together. I mean, those are just chaotic times. And so many of us have difficulty being able to focus on what this season is really about, what this season that begins tonight is really all about, that season we call Christmas. We're not unlike, I suppose one could say, we're not unlike the British soldiers who in the midst of battle find themselves in a chaotic way trying to do things but not thinking clearly, not reflecting clearly on who they are, not remembering the disciplines that have been taught them. We find ourselves doing that as well every day leading up to Christmas. Some of it is a carryover from the rest of the year. How difficult it is sometimes to focus on a day so important when there's been a loss of someone so dear to us. We would just assume that we could pass over this day and move on to the next, forgetting the memories that are connected with it of someone we have left behind. Or how many of us struggling to maintain a job, maintain a salary that may not be what it needs to be, trying to get through the season, and along comes Christmas and all that it demands on us, and the demands we see on television, on the internet, and every place we go, ads everywhere telling us about the things we need to buy and the special things we need to have, and that Christmas wouldn't be right unless we had a certain car sitting in our yard or a certain toy that we know is the best around, or that newest iPad or iPod that we know is so important. How many of us have gone through that and wondered, all I want to do is make it through it, much less think about what that season is all about? We too find ourselves in those weeks leading up in that Advent season, unsure of what Christmas is really going to be like. Well, even the stories that we hear is that of Mary, who we know accepted the challenge that God had given, accepted the task that God had placed on her, but could not see anything else other than a stomach that was getting larger. But where's the proof? You told me, but is it really who you say it is? And you and I, as we go through this Advent season, yeah, we can reflect on who that is, but where's the proof? Where's the meat in the bun? Where's the evidence that this is true? Even the Advent season is one that is unsure, nothing visible, only walking through the season with promises. And with all the things that we have to do and all the focus and concerns that we have, who in the world can be thinking about another promise that needs to be made when all we want to do sometimes is just get through the season? So many things to give to. So many other concerns out there during this season that are mentioned. The need for filling up food pantries. The need to help those who are homeless. Those who have their electricity or their heat cut off. And on the story goes. And we find ourselves trying to help out as best we can, yet somehow prepare some kind of Christmas for family and ourselves, and wondering, is it all worth it? I even have my daughter who called one time and said, I don't even want to celebrate Christmas anymore. We're coming down, but we're not bringing anything with us. No gifts from us, by golly. And it was just another day to get through, to be able to get to the next in the midst of a battle. Swinging our arms in every direction, not hitting a thing, and wondering, what does this all mean? And maybe what Christmas Eve is a discipline we all need to learn how to do. Maybe it's our 30 seconds in which a whistle is blown, or maybe a bell is rung. Maybe a candle is lit. Maybe there's a call on Sundays before that says, come join us on Christmas Eve, because it is our opportunity to stop everything else that we're doing, to not worry about anything, spend a few moments in silence, and then stand at the foot of the manger in awe. Because the child that was once only merely announced, it is said in the text, a child is now wrapped and placed in a manger. What was once a promise is now real and visible, stands before us, is right there as a child, as a messenger, as the Son of God, in a real way, in a concrete way, coming once again into our lives this day if we just step out of the world, out of the battle, and take a few moments to remember who we are. Now, one could say, yeah, while we're here, let's remember who we are. We could say as well, we're Christians. We're redeemed. We've been led from the waters of baptism to be the people of God. We're the church. And that in itself might be enough. But that's not why we're here this day. That's not why we step out of the world. That's merely to state maybe a theological principle, but what we are here really to do is to say that the child once seen by Mary and Joseph, once seen by shepherds who told the story so many times, that child is the Son of God, the very messenger of God. This is a time in which God no longer stands far off, No more confusion about who he is and what God is about. There's no reason now to question, to pose insignificant ideals. This is the time, this is the day in which we recognize in this child, as professed and proclaimed by the church over so many centuries, this is the Son of God, no longer far off. In fact, the very essence of using the words, he was wrapped and placed into a manger, is to tell us very clearly he is real and alive. The words given to the shepherds, go into the town, you'll find him there. And they did as they were told, and it happened as proclaimed. That child is the Son of God, the one who comes, the divine touching the simple, the common, the ordinary, and infusing it with power and possibilities and hope and justice and peace and faith and commitment and love. This is the day in which we can take that time and stand before the manger, stand before the cross, stand before the table, the baptismal font, stand before each other and know that this day God completed his promise. He was faithful. He loves us and sent the best that he had so that that best might be seen, might be heard, might be felt, might be understood as God and man together, walking through the same chaos, the same confusion, and the same battles that we confront, to be able to say some words of hope for us on this Christmas Eve day. And you do not walk alone. God loves you. I'm here to prove it and to show it in every way I can. And we learn then the discipline of returning always to that manger, to that table, where the divine infuses, becomes a part of the common, the ordinary, the natural, just like you and me, just like bread and wine, just like water, just like a handshake, just like those next to you, in front of you, behind you. We discover the presence of God in Jesus. This is a marvelous day, a great opportunity as we step out of the confusions and battles of this world and for a brief moment recognize not we are Christians, but God loves us. He's always loved us. He loves us so much that he became just like us. Not to stand far off, shoulder to shoulder, face to face, cheek to cheek, hand in hand. To walk with us, talk with us, instruct us, to lead us, to push us, and to remind us that we are loved by God. And he is as close as the name Jesus. Amen.